I just heard that they broke into the office of one of my personal attorneys. Good man.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to be with you today. President Donald Trump gathered military commanders and national security advisors to the White House on Monday. They were all there to mull options for striking Syria after an alleged chemical attack there. But with the press gathered for the photo op, the president had another issue on his mind. Earlier that day, the FBI raided an office and hotel room of his longtime personal attorney, Michael Cohen.
I have this witch hunt constantly going on for over 12 months now, and actually much more than that. You could say it was right after I won the nomination it started. And it's a disgrace. It's frankly a real disgrace. It's an attack on our country in a true sense.
Now, it's important to note here that the U.S. attorney in New York who got the warrant for the search is one of President Trump's own appointees. And so is the head of the FBI, which conducted that raid on Michael Cohen's records. Still, arms crossed, the president returned to some familiar ground. The real criminal is
Hillary Clinton.
The president was right to fire
James Comey.
And he mused about firing special counsel Robert Mueller.
Many people have said you should fire him.
And also,
they found no collusion whatsoever with Russia.
The president again attacked his own attorney general, Jeff Sessions.
The attorney general made a terrible mistake when he did this and when he recused himself, or he should have certainly let us know if he was going to recuse himself. And we would have put a different attorney general in. So he made what I consider to be a very terrible mistake for the country.
Well, President Trump has publicly debated firing Jeff Sessions for months. Not so for another cabinet official in the news lately, for all the wrong reasons. Scott Pruitt is the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, and he's been battered by accusations of unethical spending on security, on staff pay raises, on travel, all leading to calls for his termination from members of Congress and even from the president's own chief of staff. One of those accusations? That Scott Pruitt rented a room from an energy lobbyist for a below market rate of $50 a night in Washington, D.C. And Scott Pruitt says there was nothing wrong with that arrangement.
And I will tell you this, when you look at the issue and the facts, which most people don't, but when you look at the facts of what I leased and what I paid for, it is absolutely 100% ethical, and it was signed off and is legal.
That's Scott Pruitt defending that $50 a night housing deal in an April 4th interview with Ed Henry of Fox News. In that same interview, he deflected criticism over a pair of pay raises given to two EPA staffers, even after those raises were denied from the White House.
And look, there was authority to do it. It was not a legal issue. There was authority to do it, and it should not have been done. I've said unequivocally that what took place here should not have taken place.
Okay.
And I learned about it yesterday. I did not know about the pay raise. I did not approve the process. The process was breached by individuals here at this agency, and there's going to be accountability there. Those individuals, that should not have happened. I can't say any clearer than that.
I did not know about the pay raise, Scott Pruitt says there. Well, reporting yesterday suggests that might not be true. And the president has been defending Scott Pruitt, even as three Republicans called for him to go over the weekend. And still, Scott Pruitt remains as head of the agency most reviled by conservatives. New York Times investigative reporter Eric Lipton joins me now. Eric, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, Eric, another piece of sound from that Fox News interview with Ed Henry. Listen to this, because this one made news yesterday.
Why did you go around the president and the White House to give pay raises to two staffers?
I did not. My staff did, and I found out about that yesterday, and I changed it.
So somebody being fired for that?
That should not have been done.
Eric Lipton, there's Scott Pruitt saying he didn't give two staffers pay raises. Now, yesterday, a new revelation says that Trump administration officials have emails where one of those staffers went to HR at the EPA about that $56,000 pay raise and said, Scott Pruitt authorized it. Scott Pruitt knows about it. Scott Pruitt wants me to have this raise.
That's what's been reported. I actually have not seen those emails, and I've been told that that email exists and that it suggests that Pruitt himself knew that this raise was being given.
What would be the significance if, in fact, those emails are as reported?
It just shows the disingenuousness and, you know, a lack of forthrightness about what has been going on. And, I mean, you know, he just continues to get himself deeper and deeper into questions that really are distractions from what is his main mission, at least according to from his appointment from the president, which is to roll back the regulatory agenda. And each of these things are not at all a part of that agenda and sort of hard to understand why they're going on.
So can you give us a sense of the overall universe of Scott Pruitt's alleged unethical behavior? We just mentioned pay raises to two staffers that Scott Pruitt wasn't supposed to sign off on. It appears maybe he did sign off on them. An apartment in Washington, a condo rental from a lobbyist, $50 a night, which is below market rate. A security detail, 19 strong, which is historically large for an EPA administrator. I don't know if I've covered the waterfront here.
Yeah, there's also the first class travel that she was doing, which was argued to be based on security threats, but the justification for that was unclear and very unusual to be repeatedly traveling first class or at times even on charter flights or military flights. And then, you know, perhaps most significantly was that there are at least five staffers that we've identified, as we reported last week in the New York Times, who were transferred, demoted, or voluntarily moved to other jobs after they raised objections about some of the spending or travel or issues with the amount of security. And when they raised concerns about these things, they were then essentially punished. And so that's the range of issues that have emerged. More substantively, though, I mean, he continues to try to roll back regulatory matters relating to clean air and clean water. And in at least six cases, courts have said you did that improperly and that you didn't follow the requirements of the regulations. And the courts have repeatedly told him to go back and start over again.
So, you know, Eric, I can hear you in each of these answers. Of course, it's important that we talk about ethics and ethical lapses on the part of government officials who serve the public. And I hear you pivoting each time to the environmental agenda that Scott Pruitt is supposed to be executing here, and how not only is he not doing that, he's rolling it back, which I guess is his boss's imperative, but that the courts are slapping him back as well for doing this incorrectly.
Right. I mean, I think the biggest story of the EPA is not the ethical lapses, real or unsubstantiated, regarding Scott Pruitt. And they are, as I said, a major distraction for a guy who otherwise is quite smart and, you know, proved himself as the Attorney General of Oklahoma to be pretty proficient at challenging Obama regulatory rules. I mean, but again, the real story is his effort to roll back the Obama environmental agenda. But in neither category of his activity are things going well right now.
Well, I wonder if one of those two categories helps explain the other. You know, other cabinet officials have been let go for lapses seemingly less serious than all of Scott Pruitt's. Tom Price over at HHS was fired after lavish travel accusations. Scott Pruitt already has those, all these other ethical lapses alleged, and there's evidence of some of them, and yet he remains. Why is that? Is he so popular with the right and his regulatory rollback agenda that he's surviving here? What do you make of it?
I think that there's some pretty good evidence that that is the case. And there are a variety of groups out there that are campaigning for Trump not to fire Pruitt. And there are, you know, conservative groups, there are dark money groups. And it seems as if the industry quite likes, that is the oil and gas and coal and other regulated industries, the auto industry, they like all of these regulatory rollbacks that Pruitt is doing. And Trump, in fact, is being pressured to keep Pruitt. And then to some extent as well, you know, the EPA and the Department of Interior, if there are two agencies that are the most effective in terms of actually doing something substantive during the Trump administration relative to rolling back rules, it's those two agencies. So you're going to be reluctant to fire the guy who is most effectively carrying out your agenda, even if he's got ethical issues on the margins, and particularly in an administration where ethical issues on the margins seem to be pretty normal.
Well, Eric, here's another little piece of sound from that Fox News Ed Henry interview that Scott Pruitt did that might shine some light on this.
And anytime that you do transformational things, there are critics and there are people that come against you in that regard.
Now, that's a brief clip, Eric Lipton, but Scott Pruitt seems to be suggesting that he's so darn effective as an anti-regulator that people are out to get him.
I think that's true. I mean, the Fire Pruitt campaign going on right now from the environmental groups is another reason why perhaps Trump would not fire Pruitt, because, you know, the environmental groups are running advertisements pushing Trump to fire Pruitt. And, you know, it's just like, of course, the president is going to do the opposite when he's got his liberal enemies pushing him to do something. And I guess on this front, I agree with Pruitt. He has become an incredible, you know, source of anger by the left, and the left wants him out. And they are attacking him with quite an incredible intensity. But the problem is that he keeps fumbling. I mean, all of these things we're talking about, his ethics, are unforced errors, and they're dumb. I mean, I don't understand why a guy as smart as Pruitt would have made as many ethical mistakes as he's made that's put him in the trouble that he's now in. He's done it himself.
Well, let's not you and I bother trying to get inside Scott Pruitt's head. The EPA Inspector General has 5 separate investigations into his ethical practices already. Talk about those.
Yeah, the Inspector General is looking at his travel, at expenses relating to the sound booth that he put into his office for security purposes. And there have been requests that they also look at the condo and the rental of that condo from the wife of an energy lobbyist. So there are multiple reviews going on. It's unclear where the Inspector General will end up. And even if the Inspector General finds that he did things wrong, they don't have the power to remove him. It's really the president that would have the power to remove him.
So where do you think this goes in a divided Washington for a guy like Scott Pruitt?
At a certain point, this just becomes too much of a distraction. And it, you know, Trump doesn't like attention taken away from him or his agenda. That, to me, is, you know, the time at which he would be cut off if it goes on so long and becomes such a severe distraction. I mean, of course, there are lots of distractions in this administration. But, you know, it's impossible to predict how anything is going to turn out in Washington nowadays. And it would be ridiculous to try to say this is what's going to happen in the Pruitt's case.
Eric Lipton with The New York Times. Eric, always great to have you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.